Do you want a new job? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Do you want a new job? Well, the programs that are being worked on at many of the major universities are working with genes and chromosomes, and they're working with nerve endings, and they're working with cells of the brain. And all these things are very fascinating. But then you come to the moment by moment, day by day, responsibility. And that's a task that it takes a very special person to do. It takes a very dedicated practitioner to work in that area. For instance, they have found that people who have strokes can be trained back to using the stroke condition in their body so that it no longer is evident. So they can walk right over it and move into doing it properly. And it's really quite a simple thing to do, quite an easy thing to do. The technique is easy. The program is easy. The only hard thing is, who's willing to sit with these klutzes while they're coming back to their purity and their wholeness, original purity and wholeness? Because while you sit with them, you have to be better, not be better than them, you have to be persistent. Persistent in following through on the program you're using. Now, I've told the campus family here that if they would get up, every time they get up from a chair, stand behind it for a few minutes and move their leg purposely from side to side without moving the knee, just move the foot, and do it for at least 10 times finally, that within a week or so of doing this, they will have the most exquisite balance they could ever have. Now, for a moment or two, a few have done it, but then the others went on and just forgot it. And they continued walking like ducks, and they continued waddling around like inefficient people. And then they said, I wonder why it's not working for me. I wonder why. Well, at the universities where they're teaching these programs for these people with strokes, they go to the program, and each person has one-on-one that they're working with. A person who is so exquisitely trained one-on-one to work with the person who is being releasing himself from stroke. And so they will have them lift up, do everything the children had done as they were growing up. Lift up their little penny and move it into a bank, a little penny bank. And they will take another penny, move it in the penny bank. And they will do this. They'll take, you know, the one about the square peg and the round peg and the various angled peg you stick into the hole. They learn to do that. Well, as they're doing that, they're learning to make their fingers like a pincher so that they can pick it up and move it. And their fingers don't always want to do that. And so they complain that their fingers don't do it. And so they tell them, see it done, see it done. Just see it done. Don't think that you're doing it, that you have to do it. You've got to make your fingers work. Just see it done. And you know it's done. You've been there. You've done that before. And little by little, they get over seeing it not done to seeing it done. They get over seeing it not done to seeing it done. When we have a problem, we spend so much time on the problem that we don't really pay attention to the solution. Now, in this program, the monitor or a mentor is standing next to the person who's doing their task and saying to them, no, no, you pick up the penny and you move it into the bank. No, 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 you pick up the penny and you move it into the bank. You pick up the penny, you move it in the bank. You pick up the penny, and they have to have the patience of Job to work with these people to make sure that they do it. And, of course, they don't really have to have the patience of Job. They are experienced in it. And they have worked with a number of people already on their stoke cleansing program, and they know it works. They know it works. They know that if they can get the person, patients they call them, to continue to do what is right, that they'll be able to utilize their limbs again. Where their stroke may have paralyzed the left side of their body, they couldn't move their arms, couldn't move their legs, couldn't move their cheek, couldn't move anything over there. After a short period of time of doing these little things that children used to do to learn how to do things, they found out they could do it. And they had to learn to crawl again. And sometimes one side is so paralyzed and so unable to function, they lean that side against the wall and they crawl. And as they crawl, the right leg that's crawling properly, the right arm that's crawling properly, the left leg and arm that don't want to crawl begin to sort of harmonize with the right leg. Say, oh, that's how we do it. Oh, that's how we do it. And little by little, they begin to function properly and normally again. It's not all at once. It sometimes takes a week or two or a month, sometimes 6 months, sometimes 6 years. But those who have the diligence to follow through get the results. Now, I ask you definitely, how come it takes 6 months or 6 years for some people? And the answer is, they hang on to the idea that it cannot work. It does not work. It is impossible to come from a stroke situation into a normal situation that easy. It's not possible just to make that switch. And they keep telling themselves that. And in telling themselves that, they don't do it. They don't make the switch. Because their brain is hearing this story from their mind and is holding on to the concept that it can't do it. Now, as they teach their brain, they can do it, even when they are unable to do it. The brain gets a different impact, gets a different idea. And the brain begins to say, okay, if you can do it, go for it. Let's do that. You know, go for it. Yes. And the brain begins to say, yes. I mentioned the other day about in their studies and training, they worked with animals and they sewed two fingers together on a monkey and made the monkey have only in his brain one point at which the two fingers worked, not 2 points at which two fingers worked. 1 point. And this went on for 6 months. And then they unhitched the two fingers and they were all perfect again. And within maybe a month or less, they had rebuilt the points in their brain. They can tell this with their MRS scanning devices or whatever they have them, MRI. And they could see that there was two pods again in the brain for the two fingers, whereas when they were tied together, there was only one. Now, how can that change like that? The brain is not supposed to be able to make changes. We've learned that all of our life, up until about 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. And the idea of plasticity of the brain, of its ability to move and modulate itself to whatever new conditions it has not been believed by us. In all of our learning, that's what it is. Can you see why? You go to doctors today, they don't know the latest. They don't have an opportunity to read all that stuff. It takes time to read it. It takes time to be aware of it. And they're not in school anymore. Now they're practicing. They're practicing what they have learned. And sometimes what they have learned has now changed. Not that it has changed, but it never was the way they thought it was. But it sounded reasonable. But now new thoughts, new concepts are coming out. And as these new concepts are coming out, the doctor either finds out about them, or he is behind the time. And most of the doctors are behind the time, and that's okay. It's better that they're behind the time as far ahead as they are than if they were behind the time and not as far as they were. So this is how it goes. Now, how would you like to be the mentor, the moderator, the person who worked with a person who had stroke and was coming out of it. And you had to sit on their back and say, no, 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 stand up straight, no, use both hands, no, you don't. And so then they put their arm in a sling, so they can't use the arm, the good arm. That arm wants to get out there and work, so they have to use the other arm. And so the other arm, by the very survival aspect of it, starts going to work and starts doing things. And could you? But I want a drink of water. You can't have a drink of water until you use your hand to go over and get it. But, you know. Now, that's tough. Mm-hmm. And so then they take their hand and whoosh, they knock the glass over and throw everything out. They throw a little tantrum, you know. That's okay, like kids do, you know. And then after a while, they realize that, sure, you get mad at your teacher, you get mad at your trainer, you get mad at the person who's working with you, but you realize they've got the patience of imagination. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. And so powerful and so beautiful and so good. It is amazing what wonders they're doing. And the brain is ever changing. This book is an imaginative, wonderful book written by a psychiatrist, psychologist, MD, and so forth. And it's fantastic. It really is fantastic. Because it shows how people who have any type of condition can move from that condition to another condition by teaching their brain that their brain can do it, that their brain can provide the equipment with which to do it, that the brain can teach the finger to do it, you know, and various other things, you know. They even taught the brain how to tell a finger that was not able to tell hot from cold, how to tell hot from cold again. They introduced that subject. They did so many things, so many wonderful things. I read the book with great delight and great enthusiasm and great continuation, because it's so well written and so beautifully stated. And what amuses me most in the book, the author writes about devastating attitudes about other scientists toward scientists who are attempting to find how these things work, and how the other scientists are so absolutely rotten, you know, absolutely mean and hateful, absolutely destructive. Not all of them, but some. And how other people trying to get what they want are absolutely mean and hateful and destructive. And the author writes about them, hey, they're working from their point of view, you know. What love, what tolerance. They're working from their point. They're not doing this because of their meanness. They're working because this is their belief. And they're standing for that belief. Now, that belief is moving them away from their highest good, but they're standing for their belief. Now, he's writing about some pretty heavy-duty things. And yet he writes with such a skill and such a love and such a feeling of bliss that as you read it, you not only tolerate those people who are being mean and hateful, you understand them. And in your understanding of them, you would say to them, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. And this is true. This is true. Our great psychologist taught that to us many years ago. And sometimes we remember it, and sometimes we don't. But could you be a mentor? Could you be a trainer? Could you? I find it sometimes a little challenging for me to say, okay, everyone stand behind your chair now, move your leg back and forth. Every time you get up from the chair, stand and move your leg. Every time you get out of bed, stand, move your leg. Every time you get out of the car, stand, move your leg. Every time you get up from sitting down on the grass or wherever you may be, stand and move your leg. 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 You get so teed off at me, you want to say, Herb, knock it off. Herb, forget it. Herb, I don't want to stand and move my leg. I'm not going to stand and move my leg. And yet I persist. And I say, stand and move your leg. I'm not the one going to benefit from it. You are. You are, once you have trained your brain cells, your brain endings, the nerve endings in your brain, that they know how to be in balance. They know how to be in harmony. In another article that I read recently, it said, to hear is to have balance. Because in your hearing device in your head are those little hairs, the little villi. They give you balance. That's where your balance is, in the cochlea and the devices of your ear. And when you speak, you are speaking and you are getting balance, because you are sending out vibrations. You are sending out vibrations that are vibrating with the little in your ear, which are vibrating in other people's ears and getting with them. Hey! You know, you give them a real terrible shout like that, and right away it upsets them. But you say, oh my goodness, aren't you wonderful? And then there's a balance, there's a harmony. It's really fantastic. Really fantastic. Are you ready for being master of yourself? Well, if you're ready for being master of yourself, and I give you little exercises, don't ask me what the exercises' purpose are. Don't ask me why you should do it. Don't ask me what benefit it's going to be for you, because I don't really care. I know what benefit is, and I give you the opportunity to do it. And if you do it, you're blessed. If you don't do it, then you miss the boat. But it's up to you 100% whether you want the boat or not. Do you want to be a lady of class, a lady of imagination, a lady of dignity and charm? Or do you want to be a little fat tub walking around with a wiggly butt, you know? Some women, they wiggle their butts and they think that's very sexy. Well, they don't realize that that's as unsexy as can be. Well, maybe it's sexy according to orangutans when they wiggle their red butts, you know, to let people know they're in estrus, you know. And, of course, we're not like that any longer. We don't have turn-ons and turn-offs for sex by our physiological body. It is all mental. And so if we want to be the most charming, beautiful thing, attract to yourself the finest, the best, the most beautiful beings in the world. Don't attract to yourself just something that gives you instant pleasure, because then they won't be with you the next moment. Your life can be the most beautiful life in the world, because you have in you one element that everyone else has, but one element, and that element is what makes the difference. And that element is called life itself. In you is life. Now, you can be unfulfilled life, you can be fulfilled life, you can be wishful life, you can be whatever you want. But if you respect yourself, honor yourself, and fulfill yourself by making yourself master of your physical body, your mental body, your spiritual body, you will live to be the most happy, beautiful person in the world. Not for somebody else, but for yourself. So, when you hear a suggestion from me, follow it. If I have to repeat it, it's not worth bothering. So, go for it, go for it, go for it. Know that I love you, I love you, I love you.